Good evening, everybody. This is Brian Powers, and this is New Jersey Revolution Radio Live. This week, we are missing Diane Moxley. She took the night off because she's preparing for something pretty special. I'm going to tell you about it in just a few minutes because we're going to have a special episode with Diane tomorrow at 8 o'clock, and that's when you're not going to want to miss. So I'm going to fill you in on that. But before we get into it and get into the interview, I want to remind everybody to check out the hashtag Justice for Jameek. The mayor has proposed in Paterson, New Jersey, an audit of the police department. Now, I want you all to just to refresh everybody's memory. This is a police department which now has six officers who've been sent to jail in federal investigations, officers that have been on videotape smacking around mentally ill people in handcuffs in hospitals, and who have consistently delayed and stonewalled investigations and families' questions since Jameek's murder in the middle of January. At New Jersey Revolution Radio, we made the commitment to the family that we're going to mention that every week to remind people of New Jersey that police brutality is real. There's a lot of examples of it out there, and this is just one, but we do encourage you to follow those activists there in Paterson, New Jersey. Black Lives Matter is involved up there, the new African Black Panther Party, and of course, I have to mention Corey Lewis Teague, who's been our conduit to the family. Who's the family who I've met briefly at some of the city hall meetings are some of the bravest people I've ever met. They're strong and they deserve and they need your support. So please check them out on Facebook as they struggle on. I just came from the Newark town hall meeting on the water system, and a Newark Water Coalition contingent was present there. And I sat there and I listened to Mayor Baraka's comments. And I don't know that anything was planned, I'll be honest with you. But what I heard was a very political, speechy type thing. I think there is important information out there, and I think people should get information, particularly the residents of Newark and people that get water from the Newark water supply. So certainly they didn't disrupt to the point of where it stopped the show. But at a certain point, a few members of that coalition started to get up and say that they weren't getting their questions answered. And I'll tell you this, you know, I am not from Newark. I was arrested in a protest a few weeks back in conjunction with Extinction Rebellion's work there. But, you know, the mayor has consistently just denigrated the activists. And I heard more of the same shit again. Look, mayor. And he said, make it about me. That was his thing. He started rooting for his city, which I do appreciate. He said, don't denigrate my city. Don't tell people the water is poison. Don't tell people not to bring their business here or go there. Look, if anybody thinks I've ever said, don't go to Newark, get out of your fucking minds. Okay. Go to Newark. It's an awesome town. There's beautiful culture there. The city is a cool place to visit and meet with people. And activism is vibrant there. And I've learned a lot from the People's Organization for Progress, the New African Black Panther Party. And I was always taught to respect Mayor Baraka by a lot of those people. A lot of people that I respect Mayor Baraka. Okay. And I understand that kind of dynamic there. So it's just odd to me to hear this guy who's this hero of so many activists put down activists. Mayor Joe DiVincenzo, the fucking plantation owner who won't close the ICE jails that he has in Essex County, is not responsible for the $120 million that you just got from the federal government. It was the Newark Water Coalition. And not only do you not mention them in your opening remarks, but you actually had the nerve to denigrate them and then tell people that they're not from Newark when they are from Newark. So, you know what, man? I don't get it. I just don't get what the fuck his line is, other than the Democratic Party took his brain out from when he was this amazing activist who was respected by so many people and stuffed it with somebody else's. And I really, really hope that he listens to the people from his city who are telling him the truth and have been saying the truth for a long time. And that's all I'm asking. It's not about you, Mayor. It's not. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the fucking water. So pay attention. I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to interview a Black Lives Matter activist who I respect a lot. So here's my deep breath. Here's my cleansing breath. And Siobhan Torres, I hope I didn't scare you. How are you?
Hello, fine. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So we've shared a lot of messages and a lot of written communication, but this is me. I don't know if we've ever really, maybe we've had a conference call here or there. Have we?
I think once in a while, but never like face to face.
Right. And, you know, and I like these Zoom rooms, because you can see people. So, now you, let's just hear a little bit before we get into your arrest and all that. Because I know people are going to want to hear that, that dramatic story a little bit. But how did you become an activist? You're out of Camden, New Jersey, correct?
Actually, I'm from Pemberton. I live, I'm now living in Pennsauken. I've been in activism pretty much all my life. I come from an activist family. My aunt and my great-grandmother were actually responsible for the Mount Laurel housing decision, which each city is supposed to put affordable housing in. So I come from that type of fighters in my family. I was doing activism work before I even knew it was activism, pretty much standing up for the disenfranchised, the marginalized, all throughout school. And it wasn't until after I became an adult where I actually had a name on it. So
Now your involvement with Black Lives Matter, when did that start in New Jersey, and where is that at nowadays?
It started about 5 years ago. Right now, we kind of, we've been doing a lot of local work. I'm stationed out of South Jersey. We had to take a brief sabbatical, but we're still, we've always been in the works, doing our work, and we don't do it for the media attention. So you're not going to see a lot of it, like in the newspapers or online or whatever, because we're here to do the work, not to get accolades for it.
Can I tell you why that's wrong, or do you care?
You can tell me, but I really don't care, but you can tell me.
Okay. It's great. Yeah, it's honest. I appreciate it. You know, I've always, because we highlight work like that here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. You know, we try to do, we've done panels on community feedings and protests against war and all kinds of stuff. And it's meant to inspire. I know that, you know, what you've done has inspired people. At a grassroots level, it's inspired my partner, Heather. It's inspired me. So, you know, putting it out there, I think, and some of what our enemies do is try to make us feel ashamed as if we're doing something wrong, right? Like, you know, you shouldn't be rocking the boat here. You shouldn't be speaking out against capitalism or anything like that, you know? And so I think being proud of it's kind of a little bit of a, take it, you know, look at what we can do without you.
I'm quite proud of our work, but I notice is when you start getting a lot of media attention, that's when you start getting the activist rather than the activist in the circles. People that wants to get that media attention, those likes and hits, and then, and instead of actually doing the groundwork, doing the hard work that needs to be done in order to get these acclamations.
Yeah, I feel you on that. And the strength of an organization comes from people that are dedicated to that real work. And I believe that. So, you've been doing all this grassroots work, and I turn on the news one day, or I get a message from Wine Women in Revolution, Heather Warburton. I get a little message about, hey, take a look at the list of names in this article. And there is a group of people, apparently, that shut down a bridge, or the underpass of a bridge, by coming, hanging down from it. And amongst those arrested in this action, our comrade right here, Siobhan. So Siobhan, how did you wind up in Houston with was it Black Lives Matter and Greenpeace taking claim of this action? Did somebody take credit for this action?
This was a Greenpeace action.
Okay.
But I came to also to bring awareness to why I fight for climate justice. It was kind of like trial by fire, so to speak. It happened the 12th of September. 22 of us activists, we blocked the largest fossil fuel throughfare in the country for 18 hours.
Wow.
The shore of the 52-mile Houston ship, you see, it's the largest one in the country, largest second in the world. They have the refineries are operated by Exxon, Chevron, Shell. And one of the main reasons I really get into it, because where they have these complexes and these things are dangerously close to Black and brown homes and the low-income homes. So the water there is so toxic that if a person ends up in that bay, they only have 20 minutes before they get out, or they'll actually die because of the toxicity of that water. You can only, if people go fishing there, they can only eat 8 ounces of that seafood a month, and that's how toxic it is. And they have a habit of building these places around Black and brown and low-income homes, so they don't have the resources to up and move, so they have to sit here and ignore that.
Is that something that you've seen in other communities as well? I mean, obviously, this is like one of those things where you took a great risk at a point, but have you done any work in your community or surrounding communities with similar issues?
Yes. We was working on the protests against the pipeline, the Pilgrim pipeline. Also doing with the water condition as well in Camden, which is getting to the levels of Newark. And that's one of the reasons why I did the action, is to bring awareness, is that it's not just Flint, Michigan, it's Newark, New Jersey, it's Camden. And it's all these other towns that don't have the media sparkle. So you're not gonna hear about these towns, these little small, everybody knows everybody towns are still being affected by this toxic water. So that's one of the reasons why I went there as well.
When you talked about the, the fish and being able to eat the fish nearby, I've had some interesting debate with people around food and food supply. And it is kind of I don't want to say all of New Jersey, because certainly there are rural parts of New Jersey, although those rural areas tend to have a lot of money in them. Mm-hmm. When you live either in a impoverished area, whether it be urban or rural, I know that in Maine, where I spend some time vacationing, hunting deer is essential. If they poison the deer, if you can't eat the deer, people die and starve. Mm-hmm. They have to. They don't. This is how you go out and you live. You have to hunt. You have to catch a rabbit. I mean, it's not, you don't go to the grocery store sometimes. There's still people extraordinarily. And if we want to get serious about changing our food system and the fossil fuels that we burn it and stuff like that, local food supply is such a huge part of that. And I thank you. What other issues? And I think what we really want to do, of course, is focus on the issues at hand, because as activists, I know you're not going to sit here and tell everybody how heroic what you did is. That's my job, to point out how heroic what you did is. Also, I know there are charges pending on a lot of people right now, and they're serious charges. So people know, these are federal charges pending right now against some activists. Others have different charges, so there's a lot. How many arrests total do you know? And are all the charges still pending?
The charges are still pending. There's a total of 36 that were arrested. Some of them that were arrested had nothing to do with the action. Some of them were people for safety, other people that a boat, somebody that they chartered the boat from, a photographer, a videographer, that had nothing to do with it, and they were still charged. There was 22 of us that been charged with a state felony and a federal misdemeanor, which comes up to 2 years in prison and up to $10,000 fines. This is started off of the new critical infrastructure law they just passed on the 1st. And this law was actually pushed by lobbying groups like ALEC and oil companies like the Koch Industries and Marathon Petroleum. And this basically is a way to silence activists or protesters that are demanding different resources for energy instead of this fossil fuel, which is actually killing us.
Yeah, it's important to highlight these things in more dramatic fashion. I've been working here in New Jersey with Extinction Rebellion, which are starting to make a name for themselves, having done some dramatic actions around the globe, really. And this is serious. I mean, if we don't take this seriously, my kids are going to die in climate change. I do not have the money to build them a giant bubble or put them in a missile silo somewhere. And that's, what's going to happen, as the climate crisis gets more serious, is going to happen along class lines. I mean, the rich people are going to make it as far as anybody. And those of us that are having a hard time right now making ends meet, never mind when we suffer through, food shortage effects or, infrastructure damage and things like that. We're susceptible to that, whereas Jeff Bezos just isn't. So taking dramatic action and really putting your lives on the line here. And I don't want to know your exact role, because I don't want you speaking about it. I'm not going to ask you about it. But I know that whenever you go out, apparently even if you go out and videotape something, you know, you're putting yourself in jeopardy of dealing with the police, which in and of itself is a life-threatening situation to a lot of people. So, you know, I thank you for that. And you are a hero, and people should look to Siobhan, as somebody who's out there, setting an example, for the rest of us. Siobhan, I want to make sure that we get all your thoughts in about this action. And if you want to put out some information, please let us know. You know, where do we go from here? In particular, how do we help you and your comrades in their legal defense? What's next?
Okay. As of right now, the next court date will be coming up in December. One thing we want to make sure we get out there is the treatment that we faced at Harris County Detention Center. The Black, trans, and non-binary activists, we were subjected to various forms of verbal harassment, physical intimidation. I was actually refused my medication for over 3 hours, life-sustaining medication, Jesus. To the point where I actually had to go to the hospital. The scariest part about that wasn't the fact that I didn't get my medication, was the fact that when I got to the hospital, of course, because I was arrested, they had me handcuffed, and I happened to look down at my bracelet, and my bracelet said Stephanie Thompson. And I'm like, excuse me, this is not me. This is not my name. I said, and she's like, oh, well, this is your bracelet. And I'm like, why do I have this bracelet if my name is Siobhan, not Stephanie? Why is it this way? And she flat out told me, this is a case so people couldn't find you. And the only thing I thought about was, well, was this what happened to Sandra Bland? Is this what happened to different people that have died in prison? Because for all they did, they killed me in that ER. And nobody would have known any difference. All they would have known was Stephanie died in that hospital. As far as they know, Siobhan was still sitting in that prison. Our trans family were subjected to such transphobic intimidation, and to the point where it was where we wanted to speak up. And one of my comrades happened to speak up, another Black activist, and an officer actually pulled out their taser and aimed it at their face, saying that they will light them up. And it's one thing to see it on the news, but to see something play out in front of you, knowing that you can't do anything, is like the worst feeling in the world. The best thing we do to support us right now is going to the Grim Peace website, donate if you can. If you can't, share a story and make sure it's known. We need as much support as possible. I will get in contact with you later, because we will be having a Drop the Charges campaign going on soon. And I want also to give a shout out to the activists in Louisiana and who are also facing similar charges that we are facing. And like I said, like these charges are basically charges that's that were pushed by oil lobbyists in order to silence activists. And I also want to make sure people stay mindful is, yes, climate change is a serious thing, but people need to understand the intersectionality of it. Climate change is, climate justice is racial justice. Economic justice is racial justice. All of it intertwines with each other. And I wanted to make sure they see my Black face there, so they understand that we understand the gravity of climate change, and it affects us more so than the middle-class Americans that also are affected, because they build these buildings in our areas, in our hometowns, in our neighborhoods. So we're the ones that have to breathe in this toxic smoke every day. Our children are the ones that have to be fed this toxic water, and that needs to be reminded, and people need to make sure they're aware of that too. So like, to make sure to keep it in mind that climate justice is racial justice, environmental justice is racial justice, and they all intersect. And I know I speak a lot about the Black, brown, marginalized folks all the time, because those are the ones that are historically silence. But the thing is, people also understand is, whenever Black people fight for something, it benefits everybody. It doesn't just benefit Black people. It benefits everybody. So maybe them hearing this and like they can sit with this. So maybe we wouldn't get so much pushback when we're asking, okay, this needs to get done. We need your support to do this. Or if this needs to be done, we need your help. We need to fundraise to get these kids this certain thing, or we need to do this and that. Because it seems like everybody wants to say, oh, they I'm going to keep it 100. Like it seems like a lot of liberal white folks want to collect Black activists like we're little Beanie Babies or something. And I'm letting them know, like, I'm not a goddamn Beanie Baby.
I'm sorry to laugh.
it's true.
I've seen it. I've been in the room, Sam.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't give a damn what you're saying. What is your actions? What are you planning on doing? You can't say, oh, I know Siobhan, she's with Black Lives Matter in New Jersey, but you turn around and won't do a damn thing for my community. That means you're just collecting me. And I'm not with any of that. I'm not with that fuck shit. And I'll be damned, I'll let anybody else put me in that fuck shit. So, but again, I want to make sure everybody understands that environmental justice, climate justice is also racial justice. And everything intersects with each other. Everything is connected. And once people actually understand how everything's connected, they will understand, okay, if I help these Black and brown people with their water, they're going to do something and it's going to, guess what? It's going to ripple effect and I'm going to benefit from it. And so it's not about being centering one group. The thing is, when you focus on the most oppressed, the most marginalized, and you get them liberated, everybody is liberated from that point. But back to what I was about the action that happened in Houston. I also want to give a shout out to my comrades. I love them to death. They're really professional. A lot of my comrades went through so much intimidation and harassment in that jail. They purposely kept us grouped together. They kept us from other inmates to make it seem like we were special in order to get the other inmates upset with us, for one. They repeatedly misgendered our trans comrades, which apparently would actually put their lives in danger. They put us in a holding cell, refused to classify us, and in a part where there's bright lights so we couldn't sleep. There was no blankets, no pillows, subpar food, and some people have dietary issues so they couldn't eat. So some of them went a couple of days without actually eating.
How long, can I just say, sorry to interrupt, but how long were you and others held for?
We was there for 3 days. Some of our comrades were held for 2 days, but the climb teams, they purposely held us when we thought we had our bomb. We thought we was going home, and one of the officers, with his shit eating grin, had it there to tell us, "Well, some of y'all coming home tonight because you've been federally charged." So we had to stay an extra night at the jail because of the Fed charges. But so at most of us, the length was about 3 days for the most of the climbers.
Wow. I didn't mean to take you off your point about the way your trans comrades were being treated, but yeah, I just wanted to ask that. It's another story. And, you know, even just having been, I was dead 8 hours, and you're totally at other people's mercy. And, you know, like you said, you know, wrong name on a bracelet can have extraordinary consequences. So did you, I don't know if you mentioned, but you said donations can go to Greenpeace. Is there a direct link on their website that they can go to make sure, is there a legal defense fund right now?
Yeah, there's on their website is a link where they can go to donate for our legal defense team, which are really great people. And any other information, because there is going to be ongoing. So because this is something that's not going to happen in a couple of weeks. So as the information comes out and the more information that we are able to talk about, it will be posted on the Greenpeace website. You can follow Greenpeace on Twitter as well. But like I said, most of the time, if just go to the website, all the information will be there provided for there. If not, within the next couple of days or so.
All right. Well, I really want to thank you for jumping on. I know you have a lot of thanking and a lot of things to put out there, but certainly, you know, New Jersey Revolution Radio likes to count you amongst our comrades. You know, if there's more information that needs to be put out there, rest assured that we'll help you. So please, you know, take a minute. If you got a few dollars, this is a significant amount of legal work that's going to need to be done. And that doesn't come cheap. Talking about 36 arrests, I think it was a worthy cause to know that they gave a headache to the oil companies to the point where they're trying to lock them up for 2 years. I don't think that benefits anybody. I don't think seeing Siobhan or a bunch of peaceful protesters in jail for any period of time benefits anybody except the moneyed classes who nobody here gives a shit about at New Jersey Revolution Radio. So thanks a lot, Siobhan, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And I want everybody just to hang on for a few minutes because I did promise you some stuff as we say goodbye to Siobhan. Siobhan, you can hang out. I'm just going to mute you. But if you want to listen to the rest of the show in the Zoom room, you're welcome to it. All right.
I think you guys are dope. I'm going to listen.
All right. Cool. Before we get into our special presentation for the evening, which is going to be a What the Fuck with Pat and Brian, we recorded it last week. It's been since like February or March since we did one of these. But we got drunk and stoned enough to do something the other night and we recorded it. And so we're going to put it out there for you all. It's particularly me talking about Toms River and the Toms River situation. I got thrown out of a school board meeting and they've reinforced their racism. I want to point people towards our forming of the Toms River Hate Has a Home There campaign. Toms River is a racist ass town with a bunch of racist ass people doing racist ass shit every day. And this could be said about a lot of towns. It could be said about the town I grew up in. It could be said about a number of little redlined, areas of the state where white people feel sanctuary. So we're going to make a case out of Toms River as hopefully a bit of a warning that racism's just not tolerated. And I've made this point in meetings and make it here on our podcasts and encourage people from outside Toms River to start to get involved because Toms River doesn't get it. The community is coddling racists and allowing them to feel safe in that community. And so what we're trying to do is gather up enough people that we can affect a change in that community. And that means we need you to go to the website. There's a little Hate Has a Home There post up. There's a form you can fill out if you're with an organization that would like to help this coalition. If you're a person of any background that feels that hate should not exist anywhere in the state, and we're just going to take Toms River as an example and try to teach people how to reverse that kind of systemic racism. We need a lot of help. This ain't going to happen easy. This town's 90% white. It's 64% of them voted for Donald Trump. Okay, they ain't just going to turn around because you go to a meeting one time and yell at them. Well, I applaud those that have taken actions in Toms River. It's going to take some serious resources and some serious fight. So if you want to be a part of that fight, and even if you're a new, brand new activist and you don't know what the hell you're doing and you think you can't help, I don't care. You can fill out the form. We'll keep you in the loop and we'll start to build this coalition. Hate Has a Home There in Toms River. Check out the recent post on NewJerseyRevolutionRadio.com. And I need to plug something really special happening tomorrow night. A lot of exciting stuff here in New Jersey Revolution Radio. Tomorrow night, Diane's not here, but she only took off because she has to prepare. Because at 8 o'clock right here in New Jersey Revolution Radio Live Studios, North New Jersey, we are going to have Cindy Sheehan and Diane Moxley chatting for an interview. Cindy Sheehan, an amazing peace activist. If you don't know who she is, you know, get at you Google because she's a big inspiration to the peace movement. Who lost her son in the war and has been an activist ever since. I think she might have been an activist beforehand. I'm going to let Diane and Cindy tell you that story tomorrow night here on the live stream, 8 p.m. New Jersey Revolution Radio Live. So now I'm going to sign off. I'm going to take off, but stay tuned. If you're on the live stream, don't go anywhere because you're going to hear as you look at my desk because I can't stream video. I don't know what I'm doing over here. We need more donations so we can set up a better quality studio. So I can't stream video to you right yet, but if maybe you contribute a little bit of money, first give some money to Siobhan and her comrades for their legal fund. But after that, if you still have some money, and you probably do, just a couple dollars, $5, $10, chip that in the hat. at www.njrevolutionradio.com. All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Diane Moxley, we'll see you in the streets. And I would like to remind everybody out there watching that the police can, in fact, quit their jobs. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a good night. Here's What the Fuck with Pat and Brian.
Hi, everybody. This is Brian with What the Fuck with Pat and Brian. I'm here with Pat Noble. Hi, Pat. How are you?
Hey, Brian. Long time no see.
Yes, we do this. We do these things periodically. I don't know what it's about anymore, but it's just when you and me have a Zoom chat. We call it What the Fuck with Pat and Brian.
In fairness, it's hard to schedule these things regularly because we just sort of let them sit until we boil up so much inside that we want to come on here and just rant and curse. And you know.
Did we pick a day? Did we pick a day today? I had a very, very busy day, and I want to thank Tom Violet for going down to the Toms River City Council meeting and covering for New Jersey Revolution Radio. That was very valuable. I was stuck up here up in the north. But, man, they just passed a resolution supporting the work of ICE against Phil Murphy's, non-cooperation. I'm not sure.
Right.
The non-cooperation agreement and the order given by Attorney General Greer Graywall. And included also in that is in that resolution, a non-binding resolution, mind you, is against the undocumented immigrants getting driver's licenses. Mind you, you know, watching like an hour of testimony of faith leaders and immigrant advocates, activists getting up there and telling stories of human trafficking. It ain't screwing around, man. This ain't. Man, you know, to not take that seriously, and then afterwards would appear. I heard the vote. I'm pretty sure there were two. I know there were two no votes. I'm not going to out anybody now because I'm going to verify. This happened moments ago, so I'm not going to out anybody by names. But I'm sure we can find out very easily. You can find out very easily at home. But there were six votes, and it appeared to be mostly old white men.
Right.
Never, ever, ever, ever in their lives going to be impacted by immigration policy. And just listen to a whole slew of people who would be impacted say that this would result in things like human trafficking. I voted for it anyways. This town has a problem. I have a personal problem with Tom's River now. And I think New Jersey has a problem in Tom's River. Pat, you're a little closer to that shithole than I am. Do you ever visit Tom's River?
I've been to Tom's River, but I cannot say it's a normal spot that you would find me in. It's a little too south for me.
It's souther than you. Okay. So
yeah.
You,
so it's below where the coastline at train ends. So.
I see. It is a little bit below there. I know. Do you know of its reputation? I mean, I honestly posted something on a personal Facebook page. We put together a little graphic to go along with this event tonight, and I posted it to try and draw some attention. I get my likes a little bit. To get like 10 or 20 likes is good for me. Like, I get, oh, that's like, all right, some people paid attention. They got like 50 something likes.
Yeah.
And that tells me I hit a nerve pointing out that Tom's River is really racist.
Yeah, well, it's a Republican town in one of New Jersey's few solidly Republican counties, along with Monmouth County that I'm in and a couple others, in an otherwise reliably Democratic state. so it's not surprising you have these enclaves of extreme racism, and it's not surprising that you have people living in there who are dead set against it.
So to recap, I was there a week prior to this. This is how brazen this town is.
Yeah.
Okay. I was there a week ago because they can't get a guy off their school board who's racist as all get out.
Yeah.
Posted that he would be happy if Muslim women members of Congress were killed. Mm-hmm. They can't get him off. He won't quit. So they were like, ah, whatever. I get thrown out of a Board of Education meeting, and I caused a disruption. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't care. But I think it makes a really good point that I got thrown out for calling out racism, but the racist is still sitting there, and he's smirking and smiling and yucking it up with his buddies. And so within a week of this bad publicity, and I know not the whole world pays attention to New Jersey Revolution Radio, but at least it should be, at least the town should understand that this is going on, right? They passed this resolution. This is brazen. This is people saying, no, we are racist. We're going to be racist, and we're going to be racist right in your faces. Mm-hmm. And we don't care what anybody thinks. And this
you also have to think, you use that phrase bad publicity. To them, they don't see it as bad publicity. They see it as their racist politics, which they don't, in their minds, they don't think that's bad.
Is it really at the level of being called racist as good PR? I mean, I would still, oh God, is it that bad? Is it that bad?
I don't know if they'd embrace the word, but they very clearly embrace those politics, those ideas.
There's some reasoning behind me just using the term racist over and over and over and over.
Because it's racist.
Right.
You don't have to sugarcoat it with conservative or populist or anything else. It's racist.
First and foremost is because of that. You're right.
Yeah.
And also, because if you notice, you know, I take stuff away from interactions on Facebook, and I challenge people on Facebook. I'm a troll. I enjoy trolling. It's fun for me, and I think it makes a political point amongst the proletariat where a lot of racism exists. So I'm a troll of all peoples, big and small. And you know, I find that when I just call somebody like that's racist, it really triggers defensiveness. It really just, they like, I'm not racist. It's the worst thing you could say. And they think of all kinds of excuses why they're not racist. I mean, they could literally post like that they want all brown children locked up in cages. And then you'll say, that's racist. Like, no, I'm not racist. My great grandma had a black friend. You know, and so I know it gets to them. And it's the truth. So, and they're trying to avoid that. I've even heard really clearly, you see really clearly racist people say, no, I'm not racist when confronted with that word. They want to talk about, oh, different politics or the hate that's out there. Mm-hmm. Racism is not a word anybody wants to hear, especially racists.
Right.
I'm packing a ball now, you thought.
Yeah, I kind of figured that.
There you go. What are you drinking?
I got a little Jameson tonight.
Ah, okay. My father introduced me to Jameson. Now, that's a whiskey, right?
Yeah, it's an Irish whiskey. Oddly enough, this is the Catholic Irish whiskey, and then it's Powers, or there's another one that's Protestant Irish whiskey. Which apparently is not even true, but everyone thinks of it that way.
I am smoking. What am I smoking? This is chrome cake. Yeah. Ed would get mad at me for promoting black market stuff, which I didn't. I don't. But I don't buy weed from Ed down in Trenton, Weed Man's Joint, for less than medical dispensary prices, but for good quality weed. But I don't do that. I go to the dispensaries and buy weed.
Excuse us for a word from our sponsors.
I will put in a commercial with the sponsors. You know what? Screw it. I'll do a sponsorship spot now. So, yes, we do need to thank our, sponsors for the cannabis forums tomorrow, right? We're going to play this live at the cannabis forum.
Yes.
For a spot. So, yeah, edit down some of the nonsense. But it is important that we thank our cannabis forum sponsors today, the Coffee House in Edison, New Jersey, Blissful Infusions, infused CBD chocolates and other kinds of treats. They brought me brownies, CBD infused brownies the other day, which are really good. The August Agency, an independent accounting agency who also manages our QuickBooks here at New Jersey Revolution Radio. Weed Man's Joint, Poetry 360 Night with Justice, and who am I leaving out? I think that's it. That's what I got. So, and Socialist Party, Central Jersey Socialist Party. That's
yeah.
There we go. How is the Central Jersey Socialist Party? What are you guys up to?
Oh, well, as you know, we have our national convention coming up in T-minus 1 month. We're going to be in Newark from the 25th through the 27th of October. I think you're going to be there as well doing some stuff.
Man. wait, what?
Not entirely sure what you're going to be doing there, but I know you're going to be there doing something.
Yeah. We, I'm sure we'll be doing some streams.
Yep.
We were there. Was that that was the state convention, right?
Yeah. You were at the state convention a little over a month ago. We had Howie Hawkins and Daryl Monjakins, and you had Howie on the show about a week ago.
Yep.
For his big announcement. So that'll be coming up at the convention next month, and.
So the internal politics, and for those of you that don't know what we're talking about here, Howie Hawkins, who's running as a Green, or running mm-hmm. for the Green Party nomination, is also going to be running for the Socialist Party endorsement.
Correct.
But it gets a little tricky. There's some, you know, both parties have to decide. Howie's involved in a primary in the mm-hmm. Green Party. It's not finally decided. It's also, I guess, not finally decided by the Socialist Party. And the timing may be a little weird because you may wind up getting one endorsement, not the other. So Howie's got to win both. He's put a lot of pressure on himself. Mm-hmm. He's the favorite, you know, looking at the Green Party and infrastructure mm-hmm. and stuff. Howie's clearly the favorite. But, you know, I don't want to count anybody out. There's still a lot of time mm-hmm. left. And you never know what happens in politics. I don't think people, you know, think that we actually had people think that it's like a cult and it's Jill Stein all the time. But it's not. We have party processes, and there's mm-hmm. politics, and intra-party squabbles happen within these smaller groups as well. I don't generally reveal too much about that. I think of it as party business and something mm-hmm. discussed amongst comrades. Mm-hmm. So I understand not letting every cat out of the bag. But I know that New Jersey did pass a resolution, right? Kind of like a resolution in support of Howie, right?
Well, it was a resolution encouraging him to seek the party's nomination, which he now is. And certainly if he receives both parties' nominations, it would be unprecedented in history to have a single candidate supported by the Green Party and the Socialist Party, which would at least from electoral perspective, would be unprecedented as far as left unity goes, and certainly the U.S. left, which tends, like you said, to go in their little cultish directions and count up their, you know, couple thousand votes and go home every election cycle. And we both know Howie. He's an incredible candidate. He's an incredible person. His politics are very good. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And you will be there to cover it. So.
Yeah, man, I'm excited about it. I do, you know, it's just a part of what we do here at New Jersey Revolution mm-hmm. Radio. I think that it's fun to cover the independent left electoral wing, if you want to call it that, here in New Jersey. I think it's small, but it's an important part of ongoing things because the people that are involved with these groups are also involved with a lot of grassroots like feeding programs, immigrants' rights issues. I mean, it really is. When I think of the Socialist Party or Green Party, I think of it as like the electoral wing of the activist community, right? We are really doing a lot of great work besides running for office. And we've also talked about breaking down silos and trying to get, you know, independent mm-hmm. groups to work together better. And I know that's been, a push of yours personally, Pat, and getting mm-hmm. us involved, you know, getting me and you involved together, you know, and doing team now and stuff like that. I mean, there's been, you know, work between myself and you and other comrades, you know, between these groups constantly, you know.
If Central Jersey can suck it up and work with the illegitimate North Jersey and the illegitimate South Jersey, then I think the left can work together too. You got it that time.
I personally, once we found the state, the Democratic Republic, repeat that. Once we found the state, the Democratic People's Republic of New Jersey,
yes.
I would just assume that New York will become Northern New Jersey and Pennsylvania would become, you know, Western New Jersey.
You just keep expanding from there.
Yeah. So I don't want it. I have a problem with just divvying up New Jersey on its own because eventually.
No, it's going to expand out and you know, Cape May will eventually be replaced with Florida Keys as our southernmost point. Yeah. You just start going westward and. No.
Delaware would become South Jersey.
Yeah. San Diego, New Jersey has a nice ring to it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, eventually, yeah. Atlantic City, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, right now, you're establishing Central Jersey as a dangerous precedent because ultimately, Atlantic County could be Central Jersey.
Possible.
You got to think forward.
Well, I think we have our own little Civil War conflict to deal with first before we can.
This is why the left doesn't get it.
Yes.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining us and thank everybody who's watching the live program, which I may or may not be a part of, at the North Library that I'm going to be showing this at. Mm-hmm. But you can catch us every once in a while, What the Fuck with Pat and Brian. We pop up here just to kind of have a little bit of a laugh and take a look at
politics
and you know, talk about some serious issues. Mm-hmm. We should do it more often, but we probably won't. So
that's all right. I'm sure we'll have other things come up. I don't think we ever did the working family stuff, but I'm sure we'll have stuff like that.
Well, we are going to have, I will give a teaser.
We'll have stuff like that. That'll
I'll give a teaser here. We're going to have stuff coming about fraud organizations. Yeah. I'm going to tell you that. We're going to have stuff coming down the pipe about organizations, not just that one that you mentioned, mm-hmm. working families. But is that your cat or my cat? That's your cat.
No, that's my cat. He's got a thing going on.
We are going to have some discussion about fraud organizations in the near future. So I'm looking forward to that. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight, Pat. We'll see you soon.
Have a good night.
All right.
There we go.
All right.